It's been a busy few days at the Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis. Lucas Oil Stadium, all 18 teams represented. Commissioner Petitti, we also heard from the gentleman who is going to run the college football playoff, and all the other great things happening. And Osterman joins us, as he always does on Thursday afternoons, at Zach Osterman on the X-verse and IndyStar.com. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, Glass. How about you?
Well, I know it's a busy time. Summer is officially over in the journalism world because once Big Ten Media Days start, next thing you know, there's a Oregon duck floating in the river there. That was great marketing. Outstanding job. But Lucas Oil Stadium, it's a big place. And you need a big place when you have 18 teams. I believe there's a handful of new coaches in the league, including Kurt Cignetti. The commissioner is starting his second full year, so plenty to get caught up with today. Yes, I know it's July. Yes, I know we have not hit the Major League Baseball trade deadline. I know the Olympics haven't started yet. Colts training camp started earlier today. There's all kinds of things going on. Thanks for making time with us. We know you're busy. Tony Petitti, let's start there. The state of the conference. A lot of important things we learned from the commissioner's remarks from his Q&A from back on Tuesday. And exciting news for the city of Indianapolis. They will hold on to the now called Discover Big Ten championship game through 2028. So five more editions in the Circle City. Finance. Congressional hearings, championship games, scheduling, where we're going to host future championship. We can just keep going and going, can't we?
Yeah, and obviously there's an extent to which college athletics will keep going and going. More broadly, I don't know if Petitti said anything particularly earth-shattering. You know, I mean, it did sound like there is a firm commitment in his mind to move championships to other locations, you know, going forward. I think a lot of people have looked west with football, with basketball. You know, the one that comes to mind with me, and I don't think anything's formalized in basketball yet, but I really would not be shocked if Vegas winds up in the rotation at some point. Obviously, Vegas has been the recent sort of historical home of the Pac-12 conference championship tournament. The Pac-12 now, you know, effectively not existing anymore, there would be a hole there that I think Indiana would be happy to fill. There's also been a lot of talk about the Big 12 trying to push into Vegas as much as it can. So, you know, we'll see kind of what comes of all that. But the most interesting thing to me, and there wasn't any one thing Petitti said, there wasn't any one thing Greg Sankey said last week at SEC Media Days. It's more kind of this idea that there's almost an unspoken responsibility now incumbent upon the SEC and the Big Ten to sort of set the terms for everybody else. You know, these two conferences have spent a lot of the last 20 years consolidating wealth, consolidating power, consolidating influence, and autonomy is, I think, a word that we've used a lot in college sports. Well, now they have it at a level, frankly, unprecedented. I think it's fair to say in the modern structure of college athletics, you know, competition and governance. And it's sort of kind of it's a little bit of sort of, well, you're at the top of the mountain. So now how are you going to stay there? And what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that pulpit when you have it? So Petitti didn't say any one thing that was just sort of, you know, pop off the page. Oh, my gosh, look at that. You know, he said what you'd expect about expansion. I don't think it should shock anyone that he's talking about considering championships beyond, you know, what we'd probably call like the traditional Big Ten footprints, Indy, Chicago. Of course, we've seen, you know, for example, the tournaments in Minneapolis last season, et cetera. It's more kind of the overall, you know, if you look at the tenor of these media days, Jim Phillips was playing defense at the ACC media days, fielding questions about Clemson and Florida State, and what's the long-term viability of the conference, and is this going to become a problem? And then you look at Brett Yormark over at the Big 12. I don't mean this to sound pejorative, but almost kind of punching up and trying to sort of swing a heavy bat that, you know, maybe gets the Big 12 closer to this sort of what is now ultimately probably a power two, if that makes sense. You know, try and if you're going to have to be the upstart conference a little bit, then you're going to have to make some waves and you're going to have to, you know, ruffle some suits or whatever. The Big Ten and the SEC didn't really do that. That doesn't mean that they won't make, you know, seismic changes going forward, although it does seem like everyone is maybe comfortable with where conference consolidation is for the moment. But it's more kind of this broader basic idea that, you know, football still leads the way. Football still makes the rules. And the two conferences that have really pushed themselves out ahead of the field, it's now kind of incumbent upon them to act a little, you know, walk a little taller, act a little bigger, you know, maybe carry a little bit of that standard in terms of saying if you're going to be at the top of the pile, then you better be prepared for that. And that's where I think the Big Ten is right now.
Zach Austin, Indy Star, checking in with us today. Big Ten Media Days wrapping up on a Thursday afternoon. Yeah, there's three of them this year. That's what happens when you have 18 teams. Six on Tuesday, six on Wednesday, six on Thursday to get everybody in, plus Commissioner Petitti. Let's rewind a little bit here. I know people have questions, and I don't know if you have all the answers, but we can at least try. Is this the opportunity? We didn't hear, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I didn't remember seeing much of Tony Petitti after this event last year throughout the rest of the season. If he was going to rattle his saber and shake things up, would this have been the time to do it? Or is the Big Ten, as you kind of mentioned, they're leading. They don't have to stick their chest out and tell everybody how big and strong they are.
I think it's probably more the second. And listen, you know, I can find you instances in just the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years when college administrators said, for example, you know, we have no interest in you know, conference expansion, conference consolidation. And then within days or weeks, suddenly, boom, there's some conference consolidation for you. So all this stuff obviously has to be taken with a grain of salt. And, you know, the other part of this, too, is it can be that the Big Ten can have all the best will in the world and say, oh, we're comfortable at 18. You know, I think Petitti's line was we're focused on the 18. And the point he made was we had to come up with all these plans to integrate USC and UCLA into the conference. Then we had to scrap most of those to bring Oregon and Washington in, too. So I think when he says, you know, we're focused on the 18, I think what he's trying to say is, We have put an awful lot into just this process. We're not necessarily eager to have to, you know, ball this up and throw it away. But, you know, if tomorrow Notre Dame knocked on the Big Ten's door and said, you know, we're kind of ready to leave behind independence, we'd really like to join the Big Ten. Well, then the Big Ten would probably find a way to, you know, adjust its gaze wider than just the 18, if you know what I'm saying. So I think it is always sort of a moving target. But what I would say is, you know, the flip side to sort of maybe there being some responsibility incumbent upon these two conferences to kind of protect their position at the top. The flip side is there's things they don't have to do. You know, that when you're the Big Ten, when you're the SEC and you are playing from a position of strength, you don't necessarily have to worry about, you know, some of the, you know, you don't have to worry about overselling yourself the way maybe the Big 12 does. You're not answering, you know, questions about litigation or legal maneuvering the way the ACC is right now. And obviously I'm not trying to mock anybody, but I don't know if we call them the Pac-2 or not. You know, there is a little bit of luxury in being the Big Ten of the SEC to just sort of say, as long as we remain nimble, as long as we remain flexible and responsive, you know, we can afford to sit back and just kind of see how some things develop and, you know, maybe let some other people take some risks or, you know, let some other people sort of sniff out some opportunities and then we can step in late on this or this or this. You know, it's an interesting spot to be in. And obviously every conference in the country would rather be where the Big Ten or the SEC is. I can all but guarantee you. It just doesn't mean that doesn't come with some burdens, some hurdles, you know, some difficulties.
Zach Osterman from the Indy Star checking in with us today. And the other part of this is interesting, which to this entire point I thought was just terribly ironic. Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and USC aren't even in the conference yet, and people are asking about expansion. My goodness, we can't even go through. We haven't even onboarded everybody yet. Nobody knows where the employee parking lot is. They're not sure where the canteen is, but I guess you got to ask when you only see the commissioner every so often. The other interesting point, the first news out of the gate on Tuesday was talking about Indianapolis. What a great job they do hosting the Big Ten Football Championship. They've been the only host of the Big Ten Football Championship. Discover's the new partner, and 2028 will be the contract that ends here. What is Indianapolis's future? Is there a rotation? They've got to go to Vegas. They've got to go to Los Angeles. They'd be silly not to. What are the tea leaves telling you there?
I mean, I would be surprised to see the basketball tournament in LA as opposed to Vegas, and maybe I'm wrong about that. My thought process is just that Vegas already hosts these things. You know, you've obviously got these facilities inside the casinos. There's a real ease of use there. You have the competitive concerns, gambling and things like that. But I mean, the Pac-12 held its conference tournament in Vegas for years, and there didn't seem to be any outward problem. Some of this is also going to be dictated by some other conferences. So I mentioned
football, baby, football. I'm not worried about the hoops.
Well, I mean, dictated by football, but it's also going to be. It is also going to be dictated by other conferences. I mean, like the Big 12 literally just held its media days in Las Vegas. So if you're wondering where the Big 12 might want to host its championship game going forward, there's a gleaming new NFL stadium in Las Vegas. So the Big 10 might wind up in a situation where if, let's say, the Big 12 books up Las Vegas for 6 years, then the Big 10 might say, okay, well, then, you know, football in Las Vegas might be off the table. But basketball in Las Vegas makes sense. And maybe football goes to L.A., or maybe, you know, I mean, people have sort of fantasized about a Big Ten championship game in Chicago for years. I don't know that an outdoor championship game in the North is a good idea, but
you know, no, it's not.
There are people who have backed that idea for a while, or even I think, you know, the more sort of wild eyed among them have even suggested Lambeau Field. I'm trying to find the exact quote and I'm struggling to at the minute. You know, Petitti, I mean, he said, you know, we're really comfortable with the decision. Here it is to stay with football here in Indianapolis for the next 4 seasons. But then he literally says, having said that, I think you'll begin to see us expand. I think it's important to make sure that markets around the country get to experience Big Ten championships. It's a really good way to connect the conference. I think over time, you'll see the geographic footprint expand. Now, he says championships, but obviously there are a limited number of conference championships in terms of all sports that are going to move the needle from a cultural perspective or a marketing appeal perspective. Football, men's and women's basketball, you know, depending on the year, swimming and diving, if it's an Olympic year, that probably, you know, Big Ten championships are probably a little bit more sort of agency, if you want to say. We've seen obviously the Big Ten bounce its baseball tournament back and forth between Omaha, where they play in the same stadium where the College World Series is, in Minneapolis, where they can play in a major league park at Target Field. The point is, I would be surprised if you don't see the Big Ten get a little more bullish about moving some of this stuff around. Something else that might make sense is now that you've got access to some warm weather climates, maybe baseball. You know, moving to a Los Angeles for a year or a Vegas for a year, something like that. I don't think he's talking solely about football there, but football is ultimately always going to be the crown jewel. You know, I mean, in a separate answer, talking about potential expansion, Petitti basically said there's the academic component to it, which is always going to be important to our institutions that we're letting in strong academic partners and yada, yada, yada. And then he said, basically, on the athletic side, it will kind of always start with football and what kind of value you add to the Big Ten in football because it's the sport that makes the most money. It's hard to imagine the Big Ten thinking about moving, you know, a lot of these pieces around and not considering football as part of that at some point. Obviously, football's not going anywhere anytime soon between the games already confirmed for this season and now the four that are committed to Indianapolis. They'll be here for at least the next five Big Ten title games. That doesn't mean that game will never move. And also in the intervening time, it doesn't mean, and in fact, I wouldn't be at all shocked if we see this, it doesn't mean the Big Ten won't move some other championships to, you know, maybe locations that are a little bit further afield than the old regular footprint.
Well, it sounds like everything's on the table. And again, Discover being the headline sponsor, they haven't had a headline sponsor of the championship game since 2011's first kickoff. They've had a presenting sponsor. That's different. Not the stuff all over the field, not doing it. It's all because you can get more revenue. Pretty simple there. Do you foresee, like basketball had a rotation, do you foresee that continuing with added people in the mix? Is Indianapolis never going to host the Big Ten football championship after 2028? I know that's impossible to say right now, but that's been a pretty good partner over time. You'd hate to be like, oh, 2028's it. Thanks. We'll see you later.
Obviously, you know, the best sort of indicators of behavior we have so far are that they have not moved the Big Ten title game, the Big Ten football championship game, that is, in 13 years of its existence, and for the next 5 years, it's going to stay where it's always been. So that's 18 years in one city. That's a really good run. Obviously, the only, you know, conference that maybe has kind of a more longevity in that space would be the SEC, because the ACC's moved its conference championship game around. I wouldn't be shocked if the Big 12, you know, tries to explore further options, and it's done it, you know, it's done that a couple different ways down the years. It's really kind of settled in Dallas, but, you know, suddenly without Texas and Oklahoma, you know, is Dallas quite the market that you need to be grabbing a hold of? Is there another one out there that makes more sense? You know, I also think none of these championships are, you know, necessarily created equal. They're all a little bit distinct in their own way. But you can also, you know, you can take a basketball to, again, I'll use Vegas as the example. You can take a basketball to Vegas and say, okay, what worked here? You know, did we get the exposure we wanted? Did we get the opportunities for the athletes? Did fans turn out? You know, where did we land in the on the TV schedule, et cetera? If they go back to with the basketball tournament specifically, prior to the Minnesota interruption last spring, the basketball tournaments, and then, and not counting the year they had to sort of amend things because of COVID, the basketball tournaments had been on an Indy Chicago rotation for the most part. And if the conference decided to opt back into that in any meaningful way, it was Indy's turn next, basically, like Chicago hosted it in 2023, unless I'm absolutely losing my mind. And then Minneapolis hosted it in 24. So in theory, Indy would be next. They do these things in like either 4 or 5 year cycles. I can't remember which. What I would expect is that Indy will be represented at least one of those 4 years, possibly multiple, just depending on whether or not they want to bring, you know, some of these other host locations in. And it's worth saying too, it's really easy for you or me to say, why are you, you know, why it's, I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. It's really easy to say sort of like, why would you move this stuff around? Why wouldn't you want it to kind of all be as, you know, sort of centralized or steady as it can be? But, you know, I think about when the Big Ten had the tournament in DC and it really didn't feel like it moved the needle much. And then it had the tournament in New York, and that was great. And now you've got a conference that's pushing all the way to the West Coast. It's not just about serving your constituencies. It's about saying you don't bring four West Coast teams into the Big Ten and just say, okay, well, that's it. You know, the West Coast is now Big Ten country. you've got to put time and effort into making people feel like, you know, they are part of the conference, that they're being invested in. Yes. But also just like you've got to give them some access to it. I mean, I talked to Patrick Talty, who runs the president of the Sports Corp up in Indianapolis. And obviously they've got this game now for 4 more years. He said one of the things that they're building into their budget that they never have before is marketing and advertising out west, because, you know, they know that there's a decent chance that at least one of the participants in you know, at least one of these next 5 Big Ten title games is going to come from the West Coast. They are focused, you know, when they put their bid together, because, you know, the I guess the maybe the last layer to this too to remember is this goes both ways. The city's got to want it too. And, you know, if for example, use Minneapolis last year as an example, Minneapolis may have that weekend that the Big Ten says, okay, our conference tournament is the weekend of March, whatever, 10th. Well, if Taylor Swift comes through and wants to play, obviously she'd play the NFL stadium, but if Taylor Swift comes through, if Bruce Springsteen comes through and wants to play in the Target Center, then Minneapolis as a city might say, actually, our priority in putting these bids together is going to be 3 nights of Bruce Springsteen at the Target Center. And if that falls through, our second priority will be hosting another Big Ten basketball tournament. So there's part of this, too, that has to go both ways. And that goes back to well, what happens if the Big 12 moves into Las Vegas? Then suddenly maybe that's not quite as welcoming of a spot for the Big Ten in some respects. But going back to my conversation with Patrick Talty, you know, he said when they put their bid together to get these next 4 football games, football title games, they were talking not just about marketing on the West Coast, but they were talking about the, you know, the airport experience. They were talking about, hey, we're going to have more fans flying in for this game than we ever have before. And that's only going to be intensified if one of these 4 teams is in the game itself. So we need to be worrying about the fan experience, not just coming to Indianapolis from, you know, Big Ten corners, but fans that are going to be flying here, fans that might be spending, you know, an extra night or two in hotels because they can't just drive home when the event's over. They'll wait for a flight. So like it, there are just kind of so many considerations that go into this stuff. And, you know, I brought up the Minneapolis example just as a hypothetical, because I also don't think people think about that enough, that there's always just kind of this assumption like, oh, well, the Big Ten wants to play in Los Angeles. Well, Los Angeles has to want the Big Ten too. And it has to want the Big Ten for that event on that specific day or that specific weekend. Those things have to line up. And there are just a lot of different considerations that go into it. I think it makes sense from the Big Ten's perspective to say, hey, for the next 4 years after this one, this game stays in Indy. I would be shocked if, let's say, the Big Ten announces like a 4 or a 5 year cycle for its basketball tournaments. I would be shocked if Indy and Chicago don't get the tournament each at least one time, if not multiple times. But I also wouldn't be stunned if we see one of those, you know, sort of further afield forays. And I would be, if there is, let's say, in a 4 year window, a host city for the tournament other than Indianapolis or Chicago, I would be surprised if it is in the Eastern or Central time zones. I would think that if you're going to move it at this point, you do want to take it west. You want to take it to, I mean, Vegas is the big one. Like, Vegas is the one that everybody kind of expects the Big Ten to be in.
Yeah, because everybody wants to go to Vegas. That's not any arm twisting. You know, if you had the Big Ten football championship at the MetLife Stadium where the Giants and Jets played, it'd be like, I don't know. But Vegas, oh, baby, let's go to Vegas. Everybody wants to go to Vegas. There's millions and millions of things. Millions of things to do, and plus, like you mentioned, I think accurately, all those people out there, all those new consumers, all the new fans. You can't just say you're part of a community, and then we don't have you over for the picnic. I see that 100%. Zach Osterman from the Indy Star here on a Thursday afternoon. Before we get things wrapped up and get you on your way, we have a little basketball news today. Well, not the TBT. That was earlier this week. Assembly Ball, got knocked out in a round of 16 game. But the real Hoosiers, Mike Woodson's Hoosiers, have added an exhibition game. Tell me all about it.
Marion, I think, what is this, the third straight year Indiana's playing Marion in the exhibition? Obviously, there is an added consideration to this game now that Marion's head coach is Pat Knight, which is going to mean a lot, you would imagine, for the Knight family. Also, I think it's probably fair to say it'll mean a lot for Mike Woodson. You know, the one interesting layer to all this had been that Indiana, my understanding was anyway, that Indiana was one of the schools that was supportive of this potential rule change that would have allowed schools, Division I schools, to play exhibitions against one another in front of fans. So right now, the only time you can do that, Purdue played Arkansas last year as an example. Right now, the only time you can do that is when is for charity, for a charity purpose, a charity game.
Like the Maui fire relief, things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and I forget what Purdue and Arkansas, but it, you're allowed to do it. It just has to have a charitable purpose to it. There was a push to change the rules and just say, hey, this is allowed, you know, kind of whenever you'd like to. And the advantages are obvious. You give your fans, you know, a really sort of compelling exhibition matchup. You give your team a challenge, but ultimately it's all in a fairly controlled setting because you can win, you can lose. You know, there's no pressure there. That rule looked like it was going to, at least for a while, it looked like it had the momentum to pass. It eventually did not. It eventually failed. I don't know if it will come back up at some point or not. But I do think Indiana would like that more if it was possible. I also believe, if I'm not mistaken, that they did change the I believe they did change the rules to reflect the fact that you can play more than two exhibitions now. I may be wrong about that, but I think they changed that rule. So the point is, there's a lot of rethinking of just like how you handle preseasons in college basketball. And I think there are a few different reasons for that. Some of it is undeniably like TV driven or revenue driven or whatever. I think some of it is frankly probably transfer driven, and the idea that coaches are looking around and saying, if my roster is going to turn over this many times or this, you know, this much, even in the good off seasons, I would just like more sort of, you know, penalty free games to play with my guys to get more of a sense for what they're able to do.
Do they do this to protect the athlete?
I do obviously expect.
Is that why?
Indiana, what were you going to say?
Did they do this to protect the athletes? Is that why? Just not to overuse them? Why is the restriction there in the first place?
Yeah, I think that is probably it, at least to some extent. And, you know, remember there's practice limits in the preseason.
Well, that makes sense. 26
practices over a 42-day period building up to your first game. And I believe an exhibition currently does not count as a practice day in that 42-day window.
Well, no wonder why they want more of them.
I think that's a lot of what it is you don't, you know, you're settling on a number that is, you know, coaches get enough opportunities, but right now it's two, but I think it may have gone up to three. Just absolutely running your team into the ground before the season even starts. This is all a long-winded way of saying I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking about some changes to the complexion of how high major teams handle their overall preseason schedule, not specific to IU playing Marion in this case, but it's the announcement of that game today just kind of raises the wider question of, I do think that, you know, maybe 5 years from now, we look back and say college basketball had some serious rethinks about how it handles its preseason schedule. And, you know, of my theory that, my pie in the sky of a college basketball summer league, which I think would fit some of these needs as well. But it's just interesting to me because for so long we've played this very sort of like almost, you know, habit formed game of either you're going to do secret scrimmages and somebody's got to leak a box score, and somebody gets a few highlights from an anonymous coach or whatever, or you're going to do what Indiana's done more in the last couple of years, which is play these games at home against opponents that you should obviously be beating from outside Division One, but they are home dates. You know, they are games for your fans. They're in your building. They make you at least some money. And then they give you, obviously, the preseason feel so that your first game is not the first time your team's been on the floor in uniform together. I think it's interesting the way it seems like we're beginning to rethink some of this.
All right, good job, buddy. Join us tomorrow. We will get caught up with more Zach Osterman on a big show Friday and break down what we heard from Kurt Cignetti and the Hoosiers during Big Ten Media Days. Yep, football season is here. That's what's coming up next. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, pal. Thanks for your time, as always.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Glass.
That's Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star. He joins us every Thursday and Friday to get you caught up on all things happening with Hoosier sports, hoops, baseball, basketball, soccer. Yeah, we cover it all with the beat writer for the Indianapolis Star. Please support local journalism. Buy a subscription. Follow along at Zach Osterman on the X. All right, good Thursday. Your Money with David Hayes is next. We're back tomorrow. Big show Friday. Join us then. The Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour is over.